Back to throw, Fitzpatrick. Throwing high into the air.
Got it.
Parker, touchdown.
What a win for this Miami Dolphin team. Wow.
What's up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the Drive Time Podcast, part of the Miami Dolphins official podcast network, covering your Miami Dolphins each and every day. I am your host, Travis Wingfield, on this Sunday recap night here to bring you your daily dose of Miami Dolphins football. And on today's show, we are going to recap the 21-11 defeat in New England. We'll get the quotes, we'll get the stats, and all the analysis here on the Drive Time Podcast. All of that and more on this Sunday, September the 13th edition of the Drive Time Podcast.
That's another Miami Dolphins.
And let's go ahead and start right off the top here with Brian Flores' post-game press conference that happened immediately after the game ended up in Foxborough. Let's go ahead and start here first with Coach Flores' post-game media availability. He talked first about Ryan Fitzpatrick and the performance of his starting quarterback.
You know, I had some spurts there where we're moving the ball, but obviously with the turnovers, those are huge. I mean, we talk about that, a lot as a team. It's tough to win when you turn the ball over. But I did think he had some, put some drives together. We only finished the one, but just too many turnovers at the end of the day.
Up next, Coach was asked to talk about the run defense and Cam Newton and that Patriots offense that had over 200 yards rushing on the day.
We got to do a better job run defense. Obviously, the quarterback was an issue. Yeah, we got to do a better job.
Up next, Coach was asked about the availability and the usage of Myles Gaskin, who led the Dolphins running backs in both rushing and receiving yards. Here's Coach on the second-year running back.
You know, Myles has practiced well. You know, there's a rotation there at the running back with Howard, Matt. You know, Laird got a few snaps as well. I mean, he had a couple good runs, some good plays in the passing game as well. So we left him in there.
Coach was next asked about the performance of his linebacker, Jerome Baker, talking about how this is a team game. It's not about just one guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a team game. It's not one guy. It's not just Jerome or Fitz. You know, we've got to do a better job as a unit, as a team, offensively, defensively, in the kicking game. We didn't do enough to win today. And we've got to do a better job. So we'll go back, learn from the tape, meet on this tomorrow, and then close the book on this one and move on to the next opponent.
And here is Coach on the performance, or the assessment, rather, of his offensive line with two starting rookies and four new starters from last season.
Yeah, I thought, you know, from a protection standpoint, we were okay. We had the one sack late in the game. But, you know, other than that, it looked like we were able to protect. We had time in the pocket. It's a good rush, good secondary. That part of it, it's a team game, so you can play well in one phase and, not play well in enough phases and not enough, not good enough.
And some of Coach's impressions on the performance of rookie safety out of Texas Dolphins' third-round draft choice back in April, Brandon Jones.
I thought he had an up-and-down game without reviewing the film. Again, he's practiced well. We stuck him in there. I thought he made a couple good tackles in the open field. Did a good job in a kicking game from what I saw. We'll go back, learn from the tape. Again, he's a rookie. You know, this is his first NFL game. So,
up next, we'll hear from Coach on the assessment of the Dolphins' run defense and how Cam Newton and that Patriots' run offense was able to have so much success in the 21-11 victory for the Patriots.
I mean, it was based on a lot of things. You know, bad technique, you know, bad tackling. We got to clean up a lot of things in the run game, which obviously that'll be a focus this week.
Next, we hear from Coach, on receiver Devontae Parker, who left the game in the second half with a hamstring injury.
He's in there. We'll take a look at him over the course of the week. I don't have a status update right now, but obviously he didn't return, so we'll see what that looks like tomorrow and in the coming days.
Up next, Coach was asked about the final drive, if he considered kicking a field goal there instead of going for the touchdown at the end, trailing by two scores late in the game. Here's Coach on that final possession.
We were obviously just trying to score a touchdown. If we didn't pick up the last one, we would have kicked the field goal. Unfortunately, the ball was picked off. You know, whether they made the call, didn't make the call, I mean, it's not much we can do. We just got to live with the calls that are made or made on the field.
And we'll go ahead and finish up here with Coach on a couple of notes and thoughts from Coach about what he thinks could have been better on the game on Sunday.
Well, I thought, overall the tackling could have been better. The conditioning could have been better. Obviously, we're not going to make any excuses on whether we had preseason games, didn't. They didn't have any preseason games either. But All things we can improve on. We can improve the tackling. We can improve the run defense. We can improve the conditioning. We'll work on those things over the course of the week. And we got a tough opponent next week. And, we'll get back to it.
And so there was Coach Flores. You guys can find all the media availabilities up on MiamiDolphins.com as well as on the YouTube channel. We had Bobby McCain, Christian Wilkins, Jerome Baker, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Coach Flores at the media availability postgame. Some stats from this game. The Dolphins, of course, lose 21-11 at the New England Patriots. The Patriots had 28 first downs to Miami 17, and third and fourth down was kind of where the game was shifted as far as the stats go. The Patriots converted 6 out of 11. They were 5 for 10 on third downs and 1 for 1, of course, on that crucial fourth down on the drive that kind of put the game on ice there in the fourth quarter. Miami did not have as much success. They were 2 for 10 on third downs. The Dolphins had 269 total yards to the New England 357 total yards. In the passing game, Miami did have more with 182 to New England's 140, but the rushing yards were the story of the day. The Patriots behind Cam Newton had 217 rushing yards to Miami's 87. The Patriots ran 63 plays to Miami's 58. That, of course, changed a lot there towards the end of the game with the Dolphins in that hurry-up, urgent mode, getting plenty of plays and passes off late in the game. The Patriots completed 15 of 19 passes, so very measured in their approach and being very efficient on offense. The Dolphins had 3 turnovers. The Patriots had just the 1. Miami picked up 2 sacks on Newton. The Dolphins surrendered just 1 sack to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Penalties, Dolphins had 4 for 35 yards. The Patriots had 3 for 47. And time of possession, Patriots take that battle 34 minutes and 53 seconds to Miami's 25 minutes and 7 seconds of possession. Now, my 5 takeaways for the game. Let's go ahead and start right there with number 1. It's that Cam Newton is still Cam Newton. The run defense, you heard Coach talk about it, has to get better. Jerome Baker said that exact quote in his post-game press conference, that Cam is still Cam, former league MVP. We know all too well about that. Nobody on this team took him lightly. And Coach talked about the importance of conditioning and rotation this week. You heard it post-game there as well. And it did seem like the team adjusted well early on to the running game. You heard Tony Romo during the broadcast talk a lot about defensive looks and simply said, you're just not going to run it on us with this particular look, talking about instances where the Dolphins brought down a player into every gap and overloaded gaps, sometimes as many as 10 guys on the line of scrimmage, sometimes as many as all 11 in that cover zero look, putting tons of players down on the line in hopes of stopping that run game and really forcing the Patriots to beat them with the passing game. But it was just tons of stuff based around the quarterback. Flores said the Dolphins didn't play well enough against the run to win the game. You heard him in the media availability, and that obviously started with the quarterback. They just had so much stuff that was based around that quarterback run, and stuff that can be a challenge to defend if you haven't seen it and if you don't have it on tape, kind of like Tony Romo was talking about pretty much throughout the course of that broadcast. But they ran the ball pretty successfully, starting with quarterback lead, with power. They had a nice conversion on a draw play where Cam kind of takes the shotgun snap, steps back, evaluates the defense, and then takes off right up the middle. If you get a too high structure, 2 safeties deep off the football, good chance the quarterback wants to see that and take advantage of the running game. Tony Romo talks about that a lot in the broadcast. There was one particular instance where the Dolphins did have 2 high safeties and Cam took off on a draw for a first down. The Dolphins did adjust to it pretty well in that second quarter after that first touchdown. They had 14 carries for 79 yards on the first 2 drives the Patriots did. Then the next 2 drives, just 6 carries for 22 yards and 2 drives that did not result in points that way. But then they came back and added some more wrinkles, some jet sweep action with some misdirection, the RPO that really helped hold the linebackers in and kind of create more problems that way, and that fake sweep, that one direction going left, then Cam takes it back the right, the other way for his second touchdown of the day, right around the pylon, that play that was reviewed for the touchdown and held up eventually there at the end by the Patriots. That capped an 8-play drive where they threw the ball the first 3 times for 37 yards, and that was purely in the gun. Again, going off of what Romo said, the fake handoff, the RPO, you ride it out, you read it out, you see what the linebackers do, you pull that thing out, you pop it right over the middle. It's really tough to defend an offense when you have guys going that well, as the Patriots did. Just so much to think about defensively for the Dolphins, because you have to play that thing going forward. You have to think about sideways and all that jet sweep action. You have to worry about going backwards on the RPO if they pulled out and pop it in behind you. That's a tough task, as Flores, Wilkins, McCain, and Jerome Baker all said. It just wasn't good enough on this day for the Dolphins. Then on the crucial drive mid-fourth quarter, they break out this option toss play where Cam takes it out to the side and has an option pitch to Sony Michel, which he does. Just adds layers and layers and layers on top of each other, which resulted in 217 rushing yards for the Patriots. First game out, that type of offense, again, going to be tough to find out all those wrinkles. Now they have it on tape, and hopefully the next time around, as some of the Dolphins players there said post-game, they'll be more prepared for it defensively. Takeaway number two, the Patriots' defensive backfield is still really, really, really good. Stephon Gilmore's interception was a hell of a play in tight coverage, and that was the case all day long for Ryan Fitzpatrick and this Dolphins passing offense. We saw it last year, plenty of contested catches, Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki going up over players, and that was the case in this game as well. Dolphins won some, Patriots won some, but even on the catches, you see these Patriots defenders just draped all over the Dolphins receivers. Devontae made some nice plays on those contested catches, and that one sliding catch where the ball was a little bit behind him was just such a good concentration and effort play, really showing the ability to catch the football away from his frame, away from his body. That, of course, was what made him such an elite receiver last year, attacking the football down the field. I thought Gesicki's rebound type of play on that touchdown drive, where he kind of snagged it and positioned it away from his body to prevent the defensive back, was a really nice look there from Gesicki. He kind of got cranking there late towards the end of the game. Parker goes out, and it's always tough to lose a player, again, who finished fifth in receiving last year, fourth in touchdowns across the NFL. You even saw Fitz get aggressive and go to him when the Pats were putting Gilmore on Preston Williams, because Gilmore, the defensive player of the year last year, was kind of bouncing back and forth. And Preston did get involved late in the game on that lone touchdown drive, getting on top of Gilmore on a crucial fourth and two play the Dolphins just had to have. He gets on top, forces defensive pass interference, but when you play this Patriots team, that's just going to be the case. You're going to have to make plays in tight contested areas. We heard Fitzpatrick talk about it in the pregame last week during his media availability. It just didn't happen enough on this day for the Dolphins offense to have enough success. One field goal, one touchdown drive, 11 points, going to be tough to win games going that way. So that's takeaway number two, and it kind of ties well into takeaway number three. I thought the offensive line and pass protection held up very, very well in this game. There were some looks early on. We talked about the variety of formations, and we'll get into that here in just a moment. That the Dolphins can run with all those different guys, with Jakeem Grant and his speed, Isaiah Ford and his short area reliability, Devontae Parker and Preston Williams, the downfield attacking ability, Matt Breida's ability to flex out wide, Miles Gaskin's dual ability, Jordan Howard's powerful physical running. They've got so many different guys that can do different things, and they did a good job of really kind of rotating those packages in, rotating the players in, getting everybody plenty of snaps. And there was a couple of plays where they had play action where Ereck Flowers kind of peeled off, kind of shows you that simulated pulling guard look that you'll see sometimes, and that was actually what the Patriots did on the big Jerome Baker sack, was they tried to pull a guard, and he won right in that B-gap. The Dolphins were doing that with Ereck Flowers, and I love the way he would kind of search and hunt for someone to block the free rusher who comes free because of that play-action look. I thought he did really well in that regard. For the most part, good communication up front. No really stunts or twist or unblocked rushers coming in because of poor communication and not passing guys off. They did well in that regard. Thought Austin Jackson looked very good pass blocking his first career game as a pro. Robert Hunt got plenty of work as the sixth offensive lineman to help them slam the ball in down around the goal line on the lone touchdown drive. And it was good to see the offense really kind of assert their will on that possession. They basically said, we're going to run this thing over and over again until you stop us. And the first two plays, the Patriots were up to the task. But play number three, Jordan Howard, the sledgehammer, finally plunges in across the goal line for the touchdown. So good resiliency there. Ryan Fitzpatrick said after the game that he barely got touched. He mentioned the mood and the mentality of the two rookies in both Jackson and Kinley, and said he felt they were definitely ready for primetime, which is a great sign going forward. You want to develop these young offensive linemen and create a nice wall there long term. But it's definitely not easy to get that Patriots and Belichick rush scheme blocked. And the Dolphins, for the most part on Sunday, they were up to the task. Takeaway number four, staying on the offensive side of the ball, Miles Gaskin's strong training camp translating, looks like, here early on. He changes the angle, gets kind of skinny in that gap, and sees the hole and hits it hard. And most of all, I love the way he finished his runs on Sunday. And although there wasn't just simply a lot of room to get going, just 3.22 yards per carry for the Dolphins on offense, I was impressed with the way all the running backs finished off their runs. ultimate confidence in Jordan Howard, like we talked about on that third down and goal from the 1 yard line. I thought Matt Breida pushed the pile a couple of times on that late drive at the first half when Miami got their field goal. And that's certainly the case here with the push you get from the big offensive linemen up front, Solomon Kinley, Ted Karras, Eric Flowers, Austin Jackson, and Jesse Davis getting some nice push there on some of those runs. Number five, and this goes back to what Coach Flores said, some conditioning and the mystery that's going to make for an interesting first month of football, especially against a team, again, with limited tape like we have on this Patriots offense. Romo talked about it in the open with Fitzpatrick and Chan Gailey having a history together, kind of some old library the Patriots could go off of to look at the tape and say maybe they might do this, they might do that. But he said the Patriots and Josh McDaniels with Cam Newton, there is no history there, so how do you really prepare for that and study for all the wrinkles they might want to throw at you? I talked about the adjustments, and that was great to see, but Romo once again referenced all the new stuff they were rolling out over and over again, just continuously piling on new things. You got players going forward, sideways, and backwards. Just tough to defend. A lot to ask, especially when you consider rotation, trying to keep guys fresh. We saw line changes throughout the course of the game. Linebackers going in, linebackers coming out, defensive linemen in and out. Just plenty of guys played, plenty of snaps. And I go back to something Josh Boyer said a week or two ago, that they expect to be playing their best football in December. So it'll be interesting to see how they perform when they've got some tape, they've got some corrections to make, and can really self-scout themselves and find out who they are. Because right now, everybody across the National Football League has to find out who they are, what they do well, where teams might want to attack them. And I think we'll feel pretty good about where Flores gets this team going and the coaching staff gets this team going, because we saw last year that Coach Flores is capable of doing just that. It's another test next week with a big quarterback who had a big day today in the opener in Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And on that note, around the AFC East real quick, the Bills did blow out the Jets in the opener. It wound up a 27-17 final, but it was 24-10 with like 3 minutes to go and the Bills on the 1 yard line. They kicked a field goal. The Jets drove down late for a touchdown to kind of make it a closer game than the scoreboard would tell you, to make it a 10-point game. But the Bills looked really, really good in that opener. Tough test next week. Some big plays that I thought really helped swing momentum for Miami in this game. The near muff punt recover to open the game up. The Dolphins almost got a break there on that opening drive. I didn't see who it was initially. It might have been Brandon Jones, but I'm not quite certain. But a great job of running the blocker right into the return man. And I know Kayvon Frazier was down there too, so good job by those guys to kind of cause some confusion and get downfield and cover that punt. The Bobby McCain pass breakup on Julian Edelman, where he catches the ball in front of him and then McCain swings the hand around the backside and punches that thing out. That then led to the Jerome Baker sack. So instead of first down and plus territory, all of a sudden it's 3rd and 19. Two big plays to thwart that drive there. Miles Gaskin had a conversion on a 3rd and short play. The Dolphins went trips to the field side of the formation. All those guys kind of flooded out to the other side, and Miles Gaskin just snuck in behind. Fitzpatrick found him for a nice chunk gain to keep a drive going in that first half, and that was crucial, I thought, because it really kept the Patriots' rushing offense that was having so much success off the field for at least another 3 plays. Jamal Perry had a huge tackle on a 3rd and 6, a draw. Dolphins go dime defense, 6 defensive backs. Cam Newton catches it, tucks it, and tries to run for the first down, and he meets Jamal Perry head up, and that's not a matchup where Perry has the advantage. He's probably giving 50 pounds in that matchup to Cam Newton, but he did well to kind of bow up and make that stop on a big third down. Miles Gaskin had another big play in the first half. The very first play, I think it was, of the lone field goal drive in the first half for Miami, where he gets a tackle, gets hit immediately, bounces off, and rips off an 8-yard run to keep that drive kind of alive at the time, because you go down behind the chain 2nd long up against your own goalpost late in the half, you might have to think about getting out of that drive. So he keeps him alive with a nice run there. Obviously, Jerome Baker's huge strip down around the goal line is just a massive play. And he talked about that in his media post game, how it's really about just flying around and getting to the ball, run to the football, and good things will happen. He did that there and made just a huge, huge play, because it was about to be 21-3 if he goes in for the touchdown and a successful PAT. Instead, it's 14-3. Dolphins get the football back, and they would go down and score. So a big, nice momentum-changing play there from the Dolphins linebacker. And then Preston's defensive pass interference forced on Stephon Gilmore. Nice job to get on top of the defensive player of the year in coverage there and force him to play underneath and try to play play through you to the football, and it, of course, causes the DPI, which led to the Dolphins' touchdown to make it a tight game there at the end of that third quarter. Some individual performances I loved in this game. Christian Wilkins, we talked about his sack. That was really more about Emmanuel Ogbah bending the edge, had a really nice double chop where he swiped down the offensive lineman's hands and then flattened that corner and forced Cam Newton to step up, where he then saw number 94, who also won inside. So don't take anything away from Christian Wilkins for getting there, because you have to get around your block to get there. But Ogbah forces Newton off the spot, forces him off that first read. Then Wilkins gets right in there for the sack, his first of the year. He also had two pass breakups and a nice run stop as well. Big statistical day for Christian Wilkins, but after the game, he did say he'll change all that, or trade all that in, rather, for a Dolphins victory. On the cornerback position out wide, not much of a test for the guys like Byron Jones and Xavier Howard and Noah Igbinoghene playing outside, because the Patriots just didn't really go to those guys. I thought early in the game, seeing the inactives that the Patriots produced pregame with only two tight ends, I thought we might see more receivers get downfield because of the fact that they didn't have multiple tight ends available to them, but they just went heavy personnel, heavy offense, two back sets, and ran the football. And when they did throw, it was mostly inside to Julian Edelman or to those tight ends, who also had a nice game as well. But Byron Jones and Xavier Howard, when I watched them in coverage, thought they did pretty good on the outside as well. Brandon Jones, he was an enforcer in the box, making plays left and right. 8 combined tackles in the first half, with 6 of those solo. He finished with 10 tackles and 7 of those solo on his own. Bobby McCain talked about how fast Brandon Jones played in the game, saying, yeah, he's a rookie, but he's a guy we rely on, and we love the way he plays instinctively and flies to the football. And that was something I kept seeing on tape, or not on tape, rather, on his Texas tape, sure, but in training camp, watching the way he pursued at the line of scrimmage, timed up his runs, and just got his face mask on some footballs and made some plays that way. So good to see the rookie, the Dolphin safety out of Texas, making some big plays. You heard Coach talk about some spurts where the offense had some success. I liked the way Ryan Fitzpatrick started going after the size he has on the offensive side of the football. Of course, the big DPI we talked about on Preston Williams, the big catch from Mike Gesicki, then another DPI down in the end zone before the touchdown, as they were trying to basically take Gesicki down to prevent him from elevating, because they know how much they can get after the Dolphins can with those big bodies throwing high into the back of the end zone and getting touchdowns that way. He talked about how he's going to take chances and trust his guys. And sometimes, yeah, that might bite you in the backside, as it did this day with 3 interceptions, but it also can result in some monster days, some 400-yard days like we've seen in the past. And frankly, I'm just not sure how else you approach this game with those cornerbacks, because they are that damn good. We talked about Myles Gaskin as one of the takeaways. Again, just real shifty, his ability to kind of change the angle of the tacklers down in the box, down in the trash, down in the muck, was really impressive. Talked about Eric Flowers and pass protection, thought he did really well that way. Really the entire Dolphins offensive line, a note for all those guys: Jesse Davis, Solomon Kinley, Ted Karras, Eric Flowers, and Austin Jackson all performed well in pass protection. Again, Devontae Parker, thought the way he caught the football away from his body, contested catches, we saw what he did last year kind of translate this year into week 1. We'll check on him later in the week. And the hamstring, you heard Coach say he left the game, did not return. We'll have to get a status update on Devontae Parker. We talked about Emmanuel Ogbah's big pass rush win, showing that length and the heavy, heavy hands that he certainly brings. Package-wise, there was tons of variety. We talked about the rotation of the Dolphins' offense down around the goal line, those heavy packages, Robert Hunt getting involved, 2 backs, 2 tight ends, and a sixth offensive lineman. They were doing line changes early on in the game as well. They start the game with Chandler Cox and Jordan Howard. They rotate those guys out and bring 2 tight ends in. Just a bunch of different packages, a bunch of different looks. Again, more time goes on, the more this team can find out who they are, what they want to be, and go forward from there. And we are joined now by the host of the Audible podcast and writer for MiamiDolphins.com and media analyst here with the Dolphins, John Kangemi. John, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, Travis. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Could be better. We'd be better if we had a W in our back pocket, but we don't. And we are here talking about the Dolphins postgame here. Dolphins 21, Patriots 21, Dolphins 11. And John, I just want to start here with your 3 takeaways. You can find them up on MiamiDolphins.com. John will write 3 takeaways and 3 keys before the game and after the game every single week. Let's go ahead and start, John, with your first takeaway from the Dolphins loss on Sunday.
Well, obviously, we had a very difficult time containing Cam Newton. You know, he had 230 total yards when you take into account what he did through the air and on the ground, and then 2 rushing TDs. So the first takeaway, for me anyway, was there wasn't a sufficient edge defense. There wasn't enough of that setting the edge on the defensive side for the Miami Dolphins to, number one, slow down Cam Newton before he got 5 or 6 yards down the field. And that seemed like most of the time was the first contact he had as a Dolphin defender would try to tackle him. So that was the biggest thing for me. I think you knew it was coming, and I just didn't think the Dolphins did an efficient job at slowing him down in and around the line of scrimmage, and he just got to use that big frame and go downhill for four quarters.
He certainly has a good way of kind of riding that zone read out, doesn't he? Where he can keep the football in the pocket of the running back and then tuck it back out once he makes the read on the crashing end. And then, John, it looked like they really did a good job of adjusting to the Dolphins' adjustment, because I thought in that second quarter range, the Dolphins kind of made an adjustment, but then the Patriots come back with the RPO, and it seemed like from there things really kind of got back on the back heel again, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. I thought the Dolphins did a pretty good job in Josh Boyer trying to add personnel to and around the line of scrimmage, but that only set up man-to-man coverage. And when you add motion to that, I think it moved the Landon Roberts or whoever that inside linebacker would have been to that side of the RPO, of the run-pass option, moved him inside a little bit more and created a bigger window for Edelman and Harry on quick slants. And I think that they were able to beat man-to-man coverage. And even though there weren't that many explosive plays in terms of getting the football down the field off of that zone read or that run pass option, they were able to keep the Patriots on the field, move the chains, and keep the Dolphin offense on the sideline. So I think in those terms, the Patriots really dictated time of possession, and they dictated the way the game was played in the second half.
And that led to the first game that ended on Sunday. The game was over almost in a flash. Other games still had 4 or 5 minutes to go at the end there, so you can tell how the Patriots really shortened the game that way. John, how about takeaway number two for you?
I want to say a little bit about the Dolphin offense and their lack of explosiveness. I think in the offense you were used to or accustomed in the second half of the season last year of seeing Mike Kosicki or Devontae Parker be able to come down with some big plays or get Jakeem Grant in space and have him break a tackle and get to daylight. You didn't see a whole lot of that today. And I think, you know, with the 3 turnovers from Ryan Fitzpatrick, I do not want to lay all of them on his shoulders, because he had, I believe it was Preston Wilson, Williams fall down. And that led to an interception by Gilmore, I believe. And then there was a couple other times you had 50-50 opportunities where it could have been pass interference. It wasn't called. I just thought that the lack of explosive plays didn't lead to those chunk yardage plays where you get 30 or 35 yards right away and now you're in scoring position. And with the Dolphins struggling a little bit offensively to find an identity in week one, you needed one or two of those plays to cut the field in half, and they sure didn't do that today.
And they certainly did that last year in the Week 17 victory, where they had the big chunk plays to get things going, to get drives started. And it seemed like this year, this time around, they would have moments where it started to look that way, but then, like you mentioned, something would go awry and they just kind of couldn't get it going and string together consistent plays. John, how about your third takeaway?
Well, I thought we needed going into the game, I thought we needed to win that turnover margin. And I thought, you know, losing on the turnover margin really could lead to bad things for any team, no matter if it's week one or week 17. And I thought the Dolphins had to have a leg up in that arena, you know, in that type of the ledger, that side of the ledger, and the Dolphins give it away 3 times. They were able to get 2 sacks in the game, which I thought might lead to something, may lead to a turnover later in the game when you force the issue on Cam Newton. But I just think, even though the points didn't directly come from that, those are tough to come to get over. They're demoralizing to an offense. You put your defense back out on the field. I like the sudden change of the defense in response to the turnovers, but anytime you lose in that category, you feel like you give the other team a little bit of momentum, and that's something the Dolphins were looking for all afternoon.
You can certainly see the impact of turnovers, because the Dolphins were about to go down 21-3, and then Jerome Baker comes up with a big play that really, at the time, I'm writing my post-game article, John, I put in there like, well, this could be the turning moment of the game. That's going to be the crux of my article. But of course, things didn't go that way. John Congemi's 3 takeaways, you can find them up on MiamiDolphins.com. He also is the co-host of the Audible podcast with Kim Bocamper. John, I appreciate your time tonight, man.
No problem, Travis. And hopefully we'll be celebrating at home in South Florida against the Bills next week.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you got anything on the Bills for us, you go ahead and unload the notebook here. What do you think about that game right now as we sit here on Sunday night?
Well, the one thing that scares me is that Cam Newton went for 75 on the ground. I could see Josh Allen. I mean, he's done it in the past. He's gone for over 125 against the Dolphins on the ground. And basically, they're unscripted runs. So I would think that the Bills defense is going to put a little bit of that run pass option or that zone read in next week to see if the Dolphins make any adjustment on the edge of their defense. You know, we talked about coming into the year, Kyle Van Noy and Ogba and Shaq Lawson and you know, Byron Jones and all these new faces on the defense. I don't think we said their name maybe more than twice in the game, and that has to change against the Buffalo Bills. So you're hoping that you don't have a repeat performance of a quarterback rushing for close to 100 yards, because that could lead to demise for the Dolphins defense next week, because most of those runs in the past have been unscripted. My fear is they put a little bit of that in and see if the Dolphins can stop it next week.
And you certainly hope that having some stuff on tape, I kind of mentioned this before I brought you on, John, that having that stuff on tape will really go a long way to helping you prepare, because as Romo said throughout the broadcast, you just don't know what you're going to get with McDaniels and Newton because you haven't seen it yet. So, John, we appreciate your time again, man. The second closer here for you. We'll let you out of here and go enjoy the rest of your night, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Travis.
So there he goes, John Kangemi, Miami Dolphins media analyst there. Let's go ahead and get to some game notes here, working off of this Dolphins at Patriots. It got sent out in the afternoon. Linebacker Jerome Baker had a career-high 16 tackles. 13 of those were solo. He also had one sack and a forced fumble. Coming into the game, Baker entered with 200 career tackles in two seasons over 2018 and 2019. His 200 tackles ranked seventh among players from the 2018 draft class, and all six players with more career tackles were drafted ahead of Baker in that 2018 draft class. Christian Wilkins stands out in his first game of year number two, totaled six tackles, four solo, two tackles for loss, one sack, and two pass breakups on the day. His six tackles and one sack each matched his career high, and his two passes defensed were the most in his career as well. He finished 2019 with 56 tackles, 30 solo, and that was the most of any rookie defensive lineman in the league. Jordan Howard found the end zone for the Dolphins' first and only touchdown of the day. It was, of course, his first touchdown as a member of the Miami Dolphins. It was his 31st career rushing touchdown. Those 31 are tied for sixth in the NFL since 2016 when Howard entered the NFL. And finishing up here, Jason Sanders goes 1-for-1 on the day with a 46-yard field goal. He is now 42 of 51. That's 82.4% on field goal attempts in his career, which is the best in Dolphins history. So that's going to be our time here on the Sunday Recap Drive Time Podcast. As you heard John mention, hopefully next Sunday we are celebrating a win at Hard Rock Stadium. Until then, we're going to have you covered wall to wall on coaches and player media, stats, analysis, player features, previews, all the fun stuff you look forward to here on the Drive Time Podcast we'll have for you throughout the course of the week. In the meantime, you all please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating, leave us a review. Go ahead and give me a follow on Twitter. It's at Wingfield NFL. Follow the Dolphins at Miami Dolphins. Check out the Fish Tank with Seth and Juice, and of course the Audible with our guest John tonight, John Kangemi and Kim Bocamper. And last but not least, MiamiDolphins.com for all the written content on your Miami Dolphins. Until next time, fins up.